gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
I'm John the Lobster. When Onward hit theaters last month, it seemed poised to parlay its two charismatic leads, Chris Pratt and Tom Holland of MCU fame, and familiar Dungeons & Dragons trapping into another hit for Pixar and Disney, if a modest one by the Toy Story Studio standards. But nature rolled a natural one on the movie industry in the form of the coronavirus pandemic that caused theaters around the world to shut their doors in an effort to slow the spread of the virus. Let's review the stats. Onward premiered on March 6, 2020, and spent 14 days in theaters, earning about $103 million worldwide, or roughly half its production budget in that time. With theaters going dark, Onward debuted on video on demand on day 15, smashing the three-month window that traditionally separates theatrical and home video releases, along with all the other films still in theaters at that time. Even more surprisingly, Disney announced that Onward would arrive on its Disney Plus streaming service on April 3rd, less than a month after it first opened in theaters. None of this changes the fact that Onward is now the lowest-grossing Pixar film, having brought in less than a third of what the next lowest film, The Good Dinosaur, earned at the box office. But with Disney announcing that it had smashed its own projections and had amassed 50 million paid Disney Plus subscribers globally, it's hard to classify Onward as a true flop. Based on available metrics, it has been one of the most popular video-on-demand titles from this crop of prematurely homebound flicks. But sure as the sun must set, so must we make up our minds on this question. Is Onward a step forward for Pixar or a step backward? Gentlemen, what say ye?
It doesn't really do anything. It's not a bad movie and it's not a good movie. It's just, it's there. I mean, I don't think it's a step backwards per se. It's just, it's like
Pixar
a sidestep.
Pixar did a dream work.
Yeah, I mean that.
Yeah, is it a Cars 2 or a Toy Story 3? Am I right? Like, let's be real. Pixar has this hot and cold sort of running.
Right. It's not Incredibles. It's not.
I'm a Ratatouille guy. Like, that's my jam.
Ratatouille is the cult in this one. Everybody loves Ratatouille, but it did not do great.
Right, right. So, like, is Onward going to hit a generation? You know, maybe the quarantines, as it were.
Because this will be one that they all grow up with for free on Disney Plus.
Like, this was what they watched when they were stuck at home and you couldn't go to school and play with your friends. Like, you know, in a weird way, this is a movie about grief and acceptance of, like, living with that grief and that loss. And kind of that's what we're all going through. Like, we're all, in a way, dealing with lost opportunity, lost potential, lost, moments that we could have had out in the sunshine. We're trapped, right?
Yeah.
Not to go fucking deep right out of the gate, guys, but I've had a minute or two to think about this.
It's an interesting concept where, you know, everything used to be real and now it's they used science so magic wasn't a thing. And I mean, it's cute, it's fun to play around with the concepts and shit. It's got a lot of like I said, Brotherhood, Full Metal Alchemist. There's a lot of other properties weaved into this. The sure, DNA of this.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one who saw the Full Metal Alchemist in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically almost a
direct ripoff, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that.
And certainly, I mean, it has, you know, basically it's taking Dungeons and Dragons and doing the Galaxy Quest thing and going, no, those are historical documents.
Right.
Those are real,
The real map is over there on the wall.
Yeah. Which I kind of, like, I'm not going to lie, like, this tickled me in that way where I kind of liked the idea that fantasy is reality, but because it's hard. Like, going on quests and learning spells is hard. It's just easier if you could flip a switch and turn on the thing that you need to have do, right? And this is kind of like my chief gripe among the Harry Potter world, where they'll have... the wizards will invent some, like, Rube Goldberg machine to do a thing that the no-mages, the muggles, are able to, like, just have a piece of technology that does it. So, again, like, it makes sense where, you know, you have these primordial forces, but you're also, you know, the rules of physics still apply, so you can have airplanes and electricity and stuff.
I did like how his brother, who, let's be honest... was Chris Pratt the way he sounded?
Yeah, literally,
and acted,
was literally Chris Pratt.
But wasn't he like, he felt like a young Jack Black?
I don't know. He did. He did. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was Jack Black until I was like, oh no, that's, I mean, Star Lord. Shit.
If this were live action, it would be Jack Black and Michael Cera, right? Would be your two lead characters.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, again, the fact that it was animated, you know, the voice casting fits. It's Star Lord and Spider-Man, but
see, when they're,
it's fine.
When they're going through the whole movie and they're, you know, his brother showing him all these different spells and conjures and stuff like that, I thought that was fun, and I thought it was just quirky, you know, just stuff to fill the time. And then at the end, he uses every single one of them to defeat the bad guy, right?
Bing, bang, boom, right at the end.
The enlargement spell, the levitation spell, the no bridge
lightning
spell.
Bolt.
Yeah, I mean, it's that was cute. Like, a lot of it was fun the way some of it was stitched together, but parts of it, I don't know, maybe if the execution wasn't right, there were, but a lot of the jokes were fun. I don't know. I mean,
and this movie, I know we talk about like the Chekhov's gun stuff a lot, but this movie actually sets up everything and then pays it off. Yep. Right down to the fountain. Because that's kind of the first time you see the brother, he's like chained himself to that fountain. Mm-hmm. And then that's like the end of their quest. You know, the whole thing of him, you know, I'll pick you up at school. Oh, we can take the bus. And then they almost get hit by the bus. And, you know, everything, the mom's workout video, you go down the list in this movie of everything it sets up. It pays out.
The pawn shop sword.
And I think you're hitting on a big point for me in this movie, is that this movie's competent. It's not a bad movie. But usually, Pixar is subtle.
Yeah.
This movie's not.
No, this is a ball-peen hammer to the head with every point they want to make.
I think if I'm going to compare this to a movie, it's probably Coco.
Add Weekend
right?
at Bernie's. Yep. Don't forget Weekend at Bernie's.
Right. But I mean, in the Pixar, in the Pixar canon, Coco is about death and grieving and all of that. And it looks like their other movie this year, Soul, is also going to be about that. And when I think of, you know, what the Toy Story movies have kind of played with, what Inside Out has played with, right? Like these are, like, Pixar is almost like, look, we're going to fucking...
we're gonna die.
Yeah, we're gonna lay your emotions out there and, you know, make you feel shit that you might not want to feel right now. But this movie, I have to give it credit for its artful ending, where not giving Ian the moment with his dad pays off better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than if he had.
I think that's
That's
perfect, and that was beautiful, because it isn't so much about grief and about loss. It's more about accepting what you have, being thankful for what you have, and that's kind of interesting, the times you had with people and stuff like that, and look for what's around you. You may be thinking you were missing something, but he looks at his brother and realizes that was his father figure. I mean, it's a cute story, and it is actually touching.
And his brother never got to say goodbye. And like that, as soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh, this is, you know, this is where it's going. Like, also, that's what happened with Star-Lord, right? He ran away. His mom was in the hospital, and he ran away.
Yeah,
got picked up by aliens. So, anyway, so
oh wow, I didn't even put that together. That's like, as soon as
I thought of it, I was like, oh, just like Little Star-Lord ran away.
If he would have walked out with a Walkman, that would have been...
Exactly. I mean, you believe he kind of... He had a tape, right? Didn't he have a cassette tape
two.
In his van?
He had one was like Quest, and the other one was like... It was labeled something witty.
Why did they draw him like Jack Black then? Damn it.
I don't know. I just think that there's something also in the aesthetics of this movie that I really like. Again, it looks like other Pixar movies. This movie actually reminded me a lot of Zootopia, which is a Disney movie, but I don't think a Pixar movie. But it does the same thing where it brings you different species of animals living in basically modern world, anthropomorphized, whatever. And this is... fictional mythical characters,
the little sprites that couldn't fly
right until they could, like everyone can fly, and you know, really they just have to believe in their powers, I guess. So or gallop, I guess, if you're the cop.
So great. I'm not made for running. And then when he whips out his Fabio hair at the end and takes off, big stupid grin on my face at least.
And kind of the other thing that goes along with that is they play on all of these fantasy archetypes. The unicorn, I want to say there was a longer unicorn bit in the trailer where they show them eating out of the trash.
They glossed over that. It was only a couple second shot, but they did show that. I don't know if they were like narrating or doing a flyby, but I do remember it in the
trailer.
But also in this movie.
Right. There's the scene where they see them in the cave, I think. Maybe they just go shoo. They're like shoo and the unicorns go away.
Yeah, because the fact that they hiss at you.
Yeah, they're a nuisance animal.
Yeah, right.
So, again, like I enjoy that stuff. I enjoy the fantasy world has now become fictionalized. And... it's part of the Applebee's experience or whatever, or the Chuck E. Cheese experience at the Mythical Tavern, the Manticore's Tavern. So,
he's like, wow, it is still here. And then they kick the door open and it's like bright lights and party time.
Mascot.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So again, I think there's a lot to love here. I don't think it overachieves, right? Like, I don't think it's on the level of an Inside Out, of, even a Finding Nemo, I guess. You know what I mean? Like Toy Story 3, Toy Story 1, whatever your canon of really exceptional Pixar films are. Incredibles, The Incredibles number one. But I don't know if it's that, but it definitely sits for me above... the ones I don't care as much for, Cars and Monsters, and you know,
Monster Inc. is amazing. That's on my not.
Is that the first one or second
that's
one?
That's the
or?
First one. The first one. So yeah, one I mean, is, I think that's...
oh god, it's so good.
I think that's interesting because I would say that about Ratatouille, and like people, you know, the Pixar is also kind of a Rorschach test of, you know, I think your favorite films are, you know, nobody's saying Brave, nobody's saying...
Well, it's what touches you at the time. If any one of us were little girls or had daughters or something, maybe Brave, but...
And I mean, WALL-E, but nobody ever is like, ah, oh, fucking WALL-E, that's the greatest movie.
WALL-E is amazing. The thing is that since it's very singular as...
Also, since it came true, holy shit.
Yeah.
What a garbage planet we live on.
It's a little bit close to home. When is our virus movie? Come on. Yeah. The virus in the body and the attack and all that bullshit.
They had their chance with Inside Out, right? Go in the body and, you know,
that's
whatever.
True.
What was the one, was it Will Smith, Osmosis Jones?
That was Chris Rock.
Chris Rock. And like he's an Murray. Antibody? Yeah, he's an antibody?
He's in Bill Murray.
He's in Bill Murray, okay.
Yeah, that movie is so ridiculous, but I kind of love it at the same time.
Right.
But it is stupid.
Good. Very good.
Yeah.
So, anything else we want to unpack from Onward?
Eh.
I'm ready to close the book on making my own adventure and moving on.
You choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
Beef, how did it sit with you?
Like I said, I mean, I'm glad it wasn't, you know, fully reliant on the relationship with the father, because he never had one.
Right. Yeah.
So it was cute and, like, heartfelt that he let his brother, who never got to say goodbye while he saved the day. And, like, yeah, I mean, it was fun. It felt like it wasn't as good as a lot of the other Pixar movies that I really like, but it wasn't the bottom of the barrel for me, for sure. I mean, there a lot of the jokes were fun, and it still kept me entertained. So, I don't know. What about you? Any major stuff that you left behind? Some of the jokes are pretty witty, you know, seeing Jack Black, I mean, Chris Pratt.
Yeah. I as a fantasy nerd, like, I just love the little references and in jokes that are kind of peppered all the way through.
And looking for his cards for a clue.
Yeah, but also just like the one thing that Pixar does really well is like their fake brands. So basically the fake brand of everything that was, you know, they put a fantasy twist on. That kind of stuff I just love. I can't think actually of an example off the top of my head, but basically all the background I just enjoy.
Pixar is excelling at this. It's the details. Yeah. Devil's in the details.
Absolutely.
Well, they're great at world building, even if they don't tell you about it. It's exactly. Just painted in the background.
Well, the first thing they did and they really explored is that taking something that is very ingrained into children's imagination and then putting an actual adult topic on top of it, or adult emotion to explore. So this movie fits that mold. This movie feels like it's paint by number, but it's the numbers from Pixar. There's nothing else to say about that. This is clearly a Pixar movie.
Do you think that, like, I don't know, just like, and I'm going to talk about this in ratings too, but if the Dungeons and Dragons movie was half this good, do you know what I mean? Like, it just, the fact that Hollywood seems to get the fantasy genre wrong, like, all the time. I mean, TV can do it okay with Game of Thrones and Witcher and whatever, but just, like, look, just have elves and shit in your movie. Who cares? Like, don't make it weird. Make them normal people.
We saw that with Will Smith last year. That didn't work.
Blight. Bright. Yeah. Bright. Yeah, I guess.
See that? But it was... But maybe.
That,
I mean,
see,
they
the
tried.
Problem with
they
that
tried.
Is you're just casting race relations on orcs and stuff.
I was gonna say,
right?
It's all about it's just,
like,
who wears the veneer of what race.
This was just a normal person story, and there, other than the, you know, unicorns are trash pandas, like, there was no like oh, he's just an elf, or he's just an ogre, and you know, and this movie also, like, shows representation really cool. Like, there are people in wheelchairs and stuff in the background that, you know, like, it just makes it a real world and everybody's just themselves.
That's a good point. But it makes it... Who said Zootopia earlier?
This felt like
Zootopia, the fantasy version of Zootopia.
Zootopia does actually race relations. It does exactly that, but...
Yeah. So,
anyway.
It's just meh.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh, hey, okay. Yeah. Wow, so...
Yeah.
I mean, shall we?
I think so.
All right. Oh, they went on a quest. But don't worry, I told them about the map. I told them about the gem. I told them about the rating the movie. I forgot to tell them about rating this movie. Wing, for Onward, are you going legendary?
Achievement unlocked. Still technically the number one movie in America.
Legend of its time.
Once upon a time in New Mushroom Town.
Cult legend.
Critical hit.
Awesome.
Brotherhood of the Traveling Pants.
Entertaining. Nice.
Thank you. I was proud of that. Master the Splinter.
Mabel.
Half staff.
Flaccid. Forgettable.
Zero charisma.
Abysmal.
Wingardium Coronavirusa.
Ooh, too soon. Spring Breakers D&D.
Dungeons and Dragons, D&D, guys, or Brave?
Do you mean Benioff and Weiss? With a side of nostalgic guilty pleasure, tingle barf tears.
With a side of, you're a hairy wizard.
Ew.
I'm going to give that a Master the Splinter. This is entertaining. This is not a bad movie. It's a good movie. But my scales start with a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
That's where this movie takes a... oh my god, this is not a Up. This is not Up at all. This is not a...
Oh shit, I forgot about Up. Fuck.
Inside Out, this is not...
It's not even the first 10 minutes Up.
Yeah, but see, Up crushed my soul.
No, Up crushed us all. It was devastating, so they could have done anything after. It's not a Ratatouille again, it's not a Cars, though. And that's where this movie shines. But yeah, it's entertaining. It's very entertaining. I think now I want to rewatch other Pixar movie. That's the best effect that this movie made me do. I haven't seen Finding Dory, so probably we're going to watch that this weekend. Beef?
Oh, man. I got to go. See, I like The Master of the Splinter because that's fun. But Brotherhood of the Traveling Pants is really good, too.
Yes.
I don't know if it's awesome, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a Master of the Splinter, leaning towards higher than that, because I did have a lot of fun with it. This isn't something I'm going to go back to all the time. It wasn't an Incredibles, and I know this is a different company, but it wasn't a Spider-Verse. It wasn't other things that I really went, holy shit, I have to own this. I had fun with it. The jokes were fun. They made me laugh. They knew that a lot of their group would be nerds or nerdy parents, and they stitched all that into this world, and they did it beautifully. So I definitely got to go awesome.
Go ahead. Would you give it 2.5 gelatinous cubes?
That was so great, because when he said it the third time, I'm like, we're going to see a gelatinous cube.
Yeah, you're going to see one. They're going to pay it off,
and then
of course.
When it, like, when the trap door opened from the ceiling, and you saw this, like, wubba wubba, I'm like, oh, no, and it fell to
the
ground.
It's the gelatinous cube.
The way it absorbed things, I think, was the best part about it. Yeah. So, entertaining, Master of the Splinter, leaning towards awesome. Lobster?
2.5 gelatinous cubes, nice. I'm going to go for my favorite joke on this list, which is Brotherhood of the Traveling Pants, because that's the entire movie. So I'm going to rate this awesome for the story elements that I talked about and the narrative structure of the film, which was really tight. Like, it showed me everything, but then surprised me. And there were points where I was ahead of the story, and then there were points that I was, like, running along breathlessly, because it is a road movie. It is a quest movie. It's a fetch quest, like, all the way through.
Shop.
And it, you know, it just shows what you can do with that type of storytelling and also have an emotional payoff at the end. So, again, like, as a fantasy genre nerd myself, it gives me all of that. And also, like, it's a really pretty movie. It's a really, like, cool, like, just a cool design. Everything has a really cool design, the way it's presented. So, again, the story elements are great. And, you know, the other thing that I'll mention is just the way that the film is able to recycle those fantasy tropes in creative ways. I mean, obviously, like, the pixie biker chicks.
So great.
You know, the manticore hostess at
her tats.
You know, I mean, just everything works well. And, you know, I really appreciate that for what it is. You know, I think this movie is going to endure kind of because it had this almost unceremonious dumping based on the shuttering of movie theaters, that because it so quickly went to video on demand and Disney Plus, I think a lot more people will give this movie a chance than maybe otherwise would have. Obviously, when it opened in theaters, people were already, you know, starting to get leery of you know, going out and being in crowds. So I think that dampened.
But they'd only watch it once in the theaters. Now they get to mainline it right. all day, every day.
Right. And I think the other thing that goes along with that is, you know, this was also like the maybe the buzz, maybe the marketing wasn't as strong for this. And I don't think it was going to be a super successful, even in a normal box office environment. So, like you said, I think a lot more people will watch this or than would have otherwise, or will rewatch this again. So I could see this being kind of one of the enduring sleeper hits of Pixar in the vein of your Ratatouille. So yeah, this is a solid Brotherhood of the Traveling Pants and awesome for me.
Last word on Onward.
Are you working hard? We're hardly working.
That was a pretty good cult.
Thanks.
That might be that quest over.
I just wanted one part where, like, you see up in the corner, save game, or, like, auto-saving, and you're like, oh, shit. It's gonna get real. Beef? What time is it?
Hey, you didn't put the box office for Trolls there?
Trolls doesn't have a box office, my friend.
No, but they estimate $30 million in the first day.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Wait, what? 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 No, hold on. Explain this to me.
Okay. Trolls World Tour
yeah.
will not be going to cinemas. They released it. They went straight video on demand, Universal.
Okay.
And Wing is telling us that they're claiming it made how much the first day?
$30 million.
In a day.
You call bullshit on that,
yeah,
right?
I mean, you're...
Yes.
Now, of course, let's say they made $30 million in a movie theater. Let's just say in the first weekend or whatever, the first day. Divide that by four now, and they maybe would have made $8 million, right?
Yeah. They...
Well, they sell the movie for $20.
Right.
So we're going to get numbers at some point. But right now, their estimate is between $30 million on the first day for a weekend of around 50, 60. And I was like, I feel like they're pushing it. But hey, real numbers are eventually going to come up. So.
Well, and we're going to talk about some real numbers a little bit later because we actually have some metrics to talk about. But so, again, we don't really have box office to report. You know, you can check Box Office Mojo and see that Onward is still the top movie as of March 19th, and that's the last day that we have solid numbers for. So, what is this doing to movie theaters? What is this doing to the movie industry in general? Best case scenario, right now, we're down 40% off last year, and AMC Theaters, which is one of the biggest chains, is most likely going to go into Chapter 11 bankruptcy probably fairly soon, right?
Everybody seems to be saying, like, sell now because that's going to be done by the end of the week. So they have to go to Chapter 11. Now the question is who's going to come up to save them, because you cannot close 65% of the movie theater and hope to have any movie business going on. It's
yeah, well, isn't it a moot point now? I mean, 60% of nothing is still nothing. So it's like, you know, it sucks that AMC and other movie theaters are hurting, but it's not like anyone has an unfair advantage at the moment. Everything's closed.
I think we talked about this last week.
Briefly.
Movie theaters are going to absolutely have to change their model. No one's going to want to go sit next to a bunch of random people. They're going to have to, like, make little family booths or something.
Like I said to a sports fan friend of mine, just give us all box seats. That's what we want.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm going to tell you a story. Do you remember...
Can I sit on your knee?
Okay.
Gather around, children.
Do you remember around 20 years ago, something happened
and people said we're never gonna fly again. And then 3 years later, the airplane industry and the travel industry was bigger than ever.
Yes, I'm just, if some of the stuff that they're predicting, this keeps coming back, a lot of people aren't going to want to go expose themselves to even any of it, right? I mean, I don't know. It just...
Yeah, I think it's going to be a slow recovery, no matter what, for any of these mass gathering type businesses, concerts, movie theaters, sporting events, things like that. People are going to be leery, but at the same time, you know, when there's a vaccine and we can all get our coronavirus shot, you know, you're just going to go back to normal because this is kind of how we're wired, right?
Yep.
So it's just a matter of who can weather the storm, I think, at this point. And, you know, I would say if AMC can go into Chapter 11 and say, you know, wait and see, like when... we can put butts back in the seats. We'll put butts back in the seats. We'll lure people in with whatever it takes. Like, I mean, for Christ's sake, drop the damn concession prices. Like, I don't, you know, we've been living in this inflated reality of...
Wait a second. You cannot do that, but you can start selling beer.
We already sell beer.
Okay. What? So,
oh, my God.
At movie theaters? Yeah, we sell beer and booze.
I mean, again, when you're, you know, when supply and when we look at our supply demand curves, Wing, I know you do this. When you look at your supply demand, when demand is down, what do you have to do? You drop the price.
But when your profit margin is around 15% to 18%, and that's why you're in this situation at the moment, that's where, okay, you can try to bring them down, but then you're just bleeding money already. So that's why I'm saying they're going to need like some studio backing or something around these lines. Because, you remember the A-Day of MoviePass? Well,
those 2 weeks.
Somebody's going to have to find something that was as talked about or something. But the physical theater will reopen. Are they going to be called AMC? Probably not.
True.
So, moving into some of our news, again, we're talking about a Pixar movie this week. So, Pixar's other release for 2020, Soul, has moved now from June to November.
I don't want any more sad fucking movies.
No, wait. That month, anyway, you're going to be fine because you're going to have Black Widow, Bond, Soul, and... Godzilla versus King Kong. So I hope you have deep pocket and you're not afraid to sit beside somebody else.
Yeah, again, you know, I just keep seeing these dates shift and it just becomes, I think, unrealistic to expect, you know, you're going to do summer movies in November. You know,
I kind of agree with you there.
And again, we don't know what it's going to look like. I think we're going to see these, you know, this is going to be the lost year of films. You know what I mean? Like, the lost year of film. And, you know, what is the 2021 Oscars look like? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like we get to a certain point and, you know, if your blockbuster movie season is your Oscar movie season, then, you know, where does that make space for Parasite, right? Like,
But that's interesting because Parasite did not make that much money in theater, but made a bunch of money in streaming. So could, like, the Oscar movie become the streaming thing, which everybody would think it would be the inverse, and then the theater becomes... I'm going to see a show tonight and Iron Man's going to die again. You know, some shit like that.
It may depend what your French cousins across the pond decide, because we'll talk about that in a little bit. So Disney Plus also, as we mentioned at the top of the show, announced 50 million paid subscribers, which, again, this was... November that Disney Plus debuted, right?
Yep.
So it's been about 6 months. And take a wild guess. What was their, when did they want to hit 50 million? What was their timeline?
No idea. Really no idea.
Beef, take a guess.
We
want to have 50 million subscribers by
April
2023.
Seriously?
It was their 4 year goal. So
wow, it's 50, you say?
50 and million. I'm going to click on
bucks
this link
a month
here.
Or $5 a month.
Sure, so, whatever you're paying.
Yeah, 50 million subscribers multiply by $5 a month. That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
and it's more than $5 a month.
Well, some people got it for $5 a month.
Great.
So yeah. Again, November 12th to April 12th, whatever. Yeah, that's a thing.
That's
so
crazy.
8 million alone in India, where it just launched.
It's $250 million a month.
So it's, you know, your box office numbers, then, you know, it just kind of becomes all right, well, money's money, right? Spends the same. So what are they going to spend it on? A Doogie Howser reboot.
Why?
And a live-action Robin Hood movie.
Okay, no, wait. Am I crazy with the live-action Robin Hood movie is going to be with a fox?
I don't know.
You know the Disney Robin
Hood.
Yeah,
no, I know.
Oh.
I've heard through the grapevine that they are thinking about doing an amorphic, weird CGI fox human thingy.
Well, that was what it was in the animated version.
Yeah,
here it is in the article. Here it is. They kind of buried it. The new take is said to be a musical and again will feature characters as anthropomorphic, this time in a live-action CGI hybrid format.
Didn't we prove that didn't work with cats?
Are they going to have buttholes?
Oh, my God.
Probably.
Also, can this be a proof of concept for doing a Gargoyles live action? Just fucking do it already.
Disney doesn't care about Gargoyles.
Okay.
You and me care, and that's
Nobody cares about Robin Hood. How did the last Robin Hood movie do, Guy Ritchie?
True.
Well, the thing is that Robin Hood with the fox and everything became kind of a weird sex fetish for
yes
for
what are you a furry
furries thank you so mm-hmm. I'm thinking that maybe that's why they're going that way.
Wings yeah. A furry,
yeah, I'm very furry.
Okay, very good.
You should see all the fur I have.
Yiffy. So Dave Bautista, his MySpy. Now, MySpy, if you've been following
isn't
our
this
podcast,
like the seventh cute little spy movie he did with people.
Well,
isn't that the guy that was saying that he was doing only good movies?
This is the same one that they keep moving, and we keep getting new trailers for, because I'll say, oh, they changed the date for it. Here's a new trailer. Oh, they changed the date again. Here's a new trailer. They changed the date again, and it's just going to go to Amazon Prime. So, you know, we can do My Spy next month if you want.
No,
because it'll
it'll
be on here. So another interesting thing is this video on demand. Movies are coming onto services at about $20 for a rental fee. And then, so just a few weeks ago, the Birds of Prey film and the Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, Harley Quinn : Birds of Prey.
They changed the title three times.
You know what, though? This is in the wheelhouse of what I want to pay now.
$5.99.
Yeah. I might
Which
actually
is,
give them money
if,
now.
If you go back 2 weeks on this podcast, I quoted a survey which said, this is what viewers want to pay, $6. They want to pay $6. And that's what they did. You know, I mean, it's so interesting that, you know, this is, we'll put it out at a premium price for the first couple weeks, then we'll drop it down a little bit, and then we'll put it on HBO or whatever. And, you know.
Warner got lucky with this, because this was a bomb. Let's say real things. This was a bomb. And all of a sudden, they have that bomb that, well, they already lost money on it, so might as well try some shit with it. And it's paying off like crazy. Like, crazy enough that talks of a sequel is possible. You're like, wait, what?
So for the Birds of Prey one?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know. I had the same reaction. I was like, wait, what? But
I mean, what's I think kind of interesting about the whole thing is Onward was on its way to being a disappointment. A bunch of movies that came out this spring were underperforming. And honestly, we're kind of saved by all this, at least in terms of getting people to see them. Maybe not earning their production budget back, but, you know.
But they become kind of flagship for these studios, so they're getting talked about a bunch.
And they're bringing new people into the subscribing things, and they're trying something new. And even if they're still going to lose money, they're bringing in more money than they would have had they just sold them to a Netflix for $10
million. Right. Sure. Yeah. They're almost avoiding the direct-to-video being a bad word, so.
Right.
Next one, so first look at Steve Carell and Space Force, the Netflix series.
This is just a picture, right? Who cares? Like, I want to see something.
These are just a couple
something.
Of pictures, and it looks like Avenue 5, so.
I wonder if cool. HBO heard they were doing this and just jumped the gun.
I mean, Avenue 5 was pretty good, So I liked it a lot. Salem's Lot is getting a live action movie, and Hellraiser is getting a live action movie. So, interesting
another
thing.
One?
Yeah, so interesting thing. Like, Wing, you said a couple weeks ago, what's going to happen in this downtime when you can't be working, like actively producing? You're going to hire writers,
like
you're
going to
pitch
right
movies,
now.
You're going to hire directors who aren't working on anything, and you're going to start, you know, visualizing. Salem's Lot, Hellraiser, Atomic Blonde 2 in development at Netflix. These are all things that are kind of happening.
See,
right
I'm
now.
Confused. I mean, I'm happy because I liked Atomic Blonde, and it'll be interesting to see what they do with it at Netflix. Apparently, Charlize Theron might be attached to direct or star or something as well. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely be cool. I never watched the first one, or I guess the only one right now, but.
It's a pretty good spy flick, and it's totally set in the 80s, so it's, you know, lots of good music, lots of good nightclubs, and she's an ass kicker in that movie.
Good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Speaking of ass kickers, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, known for being the comedian and beating people up with baseball bats.
Yes.
Negan.
Thomas Wayne.
That's who I meant. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Will host an at-home talk show for AMC. So this is like becoming the thing to do.
We've been doing this for 15 years. Why can't we get these
this
contracts?
This is like legitimate. Famous people are now just shooting shit on their iPhones. And that's...
Well, speaking of that, we'll touch on it later, but I did watch the Tiger King last episode.
Yeah, that's exactly how they did it.
Yeah,
they shipped Joel McHale an iPhone
with earbuds, and then they shipped everyone else one other one they probably shared.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So that's kind of the new normal, and everybody's filming at home, and I look on TV prime time, and it just I'm like, this is what I'm doing with my webcam right now.
Has
like,
anybody watched Last Week Tonight recently?
Yes.
I watched Corona 1,
just him
and
that
I know he's
weird,
at Corona 3 now.
That, he's on 4, yeah, he's but he's in 4. That weird white room. Yeah.
I just watched Corona 4 last night, and to be honest, it's like, I chuckle because some of his stuff is funny, and it's that dry humor, but I realize the majority of his humor comes from the laugh tracks and shit like that. Yeah. Like, it's you're prompted to laugh when you hear other people laugh.
Yep.
Like, I mean, he's still a witty guy, and I'm not downplaying him, but it's got to be so weird, too. Like, you don't know where to pause because there's no people laughing.
I actually like it more, but that's
Last Week Tonight, weird. I like it more because you see that he's used to it. He makes a joke about the fact that he's used to it. The first couple of late shows with Colbert were cringy as fuck.
Yeah.
He's getting better at it, but oh my god, I was like, oh, okay, that's an art, and it's not.
I mean, it's so interesting because when you're an actor, I feel like so much of it is the reaction of the audience. I mean, stage acting in particular, comedy, stand-up comedy, all of it comes from your audience.
The timing and comes from your audience, how long to hold certain things. And
I want to feel like the people who are good at it are the people that have done film and television, because it's just like literally just somebody else telling you, okay, no, you didn't hit your mark. The camera was out of focus. Stand there, not there. Like, you know, it's, yeah, don't look at the camera. Okay, look at the camera. And, you know, it's, I don't know. That's why I think if you've watched, John Krasinski has done a couple of videos. He's actually really good at it, because that's all he did on The Office, was just be a talking head and was all about timing with no reaction. And
yeah, it makes
sense. He's actually really good at those. So, what's sad? Let's talk about something sad. The Daredevil actress and also from True Blood, Deborah Ann Woll, said she has not worked
Who's
in
that?
2 years.
The blonde?
The redhead. I guess she's blonde. Redhead. I think of her as more of a redhead, but she played Karen.
Okay. She was a blonde in the show, but go on.
She says she has not worked in 2 years. Whoa. Since the Marvel Netflix series Got the Axe. And
oh, wow.
Now that I think of it, I haven't seen many of the other actors from those series show up in other stuff, really.
Are they secretly being held on to now? Disney's not going to swoop them up. Who am I kidding?
Why would they do that? They don't have to pay them. You can recast and pay somebody else from scratch. The only one that you might want to keep is
Bernthal. John Bernthal is the Punisher.
Yeah, not even the guy who plays Daredevil, but Bernthal.
That guy who played Daredevil was really good, though.
It was good, but good. I wouldn't pay for him, though. I would pay for Bernthal.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
I'd buy that for a dollar. Anyway, that's sad. I hope she finds work soon. I think she's a good actress.
Yeah, I liked her in the couple things I saw.
But I think this is not the time either, because nobody's getting hired to do anything. Alex, you're filming from your living room.
With an iPhone.
The Cannes Film Festival.
That's Cannes?
It is not.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cannes. Le Festival de Cannes. Thank you.
There's an S there. There's an ES. There's Cannes.
Yeah, it's but like it's silent.
Man,
it's
your like festival's got some nice Cannes in it.
It's like the H, you know, appen. It will not happen this year. Probably. So here's what, if irony was a real thing, like the Alanis Morissette song tells us,
isn't it ironic
that the film festival that has railed most virulently against streaming, I will say virulently because it fits in this case, most vehemently against streaming, could probably be saved if they switch to a streaming format, but I bet they won't.
They won't just because new. But yeah, at some point they have to understand that if people don't see movies, well, your art is kind of useless.
And that's the thing, because now we're heading into late summer, early fall is film festival season. And that's when you generate the buzz for the studios to buy your picture, to give it to a distributor, to get it for your consideration, to generate the buzz, to get it on screens, to make a push for an award, right?
Yep.
It's like the Olympics, right? The reason they had to cancel the Olympics was not because, you know, we're not going to be over all this in June or July or whatever. It's trials, qualifications, training, everything that has to happen, getting your team together to practice. None of that can happen. Therefore, 6 months from now, you can't hold the thing, right? So we're getting to the point where 6 months from now is not going to happen either.
Yeah, no, well, I don't think even Comic-Con's going to happen. So, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of comics, comic publisher Boom Studios signed a first look deal with Netflix, which last time I checked, Netflix bought their own or started their own comic label. So interesting that they're partnering up with another one.
They're buying comic labels usually. So
yeah. Speaking of
Vertigo winged the thing.
Speaking of the Olympics, that's what NBC is going to show. Old summer Olympics coverage. coverage in prime time, because what else are you going to watch? Just watch Michael Phelps.
And we already put all of our stuff on a streaming service, so you pay for that anyways. Suckers.
Dude, TV is going to be a thing for old people.
Man. Yeah, and Comcast, so interesting. So Peacock is going to do a soft launch tomorrow, free to Comcast subscribers. They're going to get a free first look at the Peacock.
Do you want a free look at my peacock?
No, I'll pay you for it. Read something that this isn't in there, but I just want to share it because, you know, Battlestar Galactica is what brought the three of us nerds together.
Oh, my God, yes.
There is... Sci-Fi Channel has made all of Battlestar Galactica available for free on their website during these times. I guess Trisha Helfer, it's called Sci-Fi Wire, does a podcast called Battlestar Galactic Cast, and
with Mark Bernardin, who does the
Beyond.
Yeah, Fat Man Beyond, thank you.
And then on April 20th they are releasing a bonus cast. They got everybody together from the original cast and recorded a live read of the beloved episode 33.
Mr. Gaeta, start the clock.
So I you know what, I've written it down. I'm starting a BSG rewatch and I'm gonna download that in a week.
Okay.
What was that episode one of
that was episode one of the series
after the miniseries. So fun fact for those of you at home, in my house we don't have cable. We actually have an antenna up in the attic that whoever lived in this house before us, or maybe even before that, they wired all of the rooms for cable, and that all went up to like an antenna in the attic. So we upgraded that to a digital antenna, and so now we get a bunch of channels just over the air for free, and we can hook up basically every room of the house to it.
Nice.
It's like a weird setup, but it worked for us. So we get a channel called Comet, which I don't know, people who have antennas may know what Comet is. They show old movies and like MST3K and stuff. They've been re-showing Battlestar Galactica in, we get it in SD, in non-HD format. So it's kind of, it looks like an old TV show, but it's BSG.
Love it.
Lionsgate, the movie studio, is going to host free showings of hit films like Hunger Games and John Wick on YouTube, only available for free on Friday nights.
That's fun.
That's kind of cool. Apple TV made a bunch of Apple TV Plus made a bunch of shows free to stream,
just like HBO. Showtime as well is free. A few things are free till like the 20th or so of this month, if not longer. Mm-hmm.
And until it's going to be free for another month, because we're still going to be fucking stuck at home.
Absolutely. But it's nice to see companies like this are doing it.
Speaking of companies doing something, amidst all this competition and free stuff coming out, Quibi says they have 1.7 million subscribers in their first week.
Yes, just remember that their trial only lasts 2 weeks, I think.
Exactly. So,
tell me what their subscriber base is in 28 days.
Yeah, I would say 0.1 million subscribers.
You know why? You know why I didn't cancel it? Because I didn't finish those 25-minute episodes.
Yeah, yeah. You're just going to mainline those on the John one day, and you'll
legs
be good to go.
Fall asleep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some guy's going to forget to push a button.
Oh, okay.
And then some other pandemic will happen. Great.
Yeah,
thanks,
because you're out of toilet paper. You're just waiting for it to dry.
It's going to itch when it dries.
Okay, so...
let's move on. Okay.
Speaking of shit? No, of good shit. Hopefully, we really hope this is good
shit. But the jury's always out when it comes to doom.
We never know. So Denis Villeneuve is developing a two film. Did I see that right? It's a two film Dune saga
plus a TV show.
A TV show about the Bene Gesserit. So anyway, Vanity Fair did a feature. You can get a first look at what these characters are going to look like. It looks like Dune, so you know I'm fine with that. People have the things up their noses and this weird suits, and you know it just looks fine.
It looks good. Dune is either done well or done really bad. There is not much of a middle ground. Even the corny ones, it's kind of like, ah, fuck, I don't...
Oh, man, I love this cast. Josh Brolin as Gurney Halleck, Rebecca Ferguson as Lady Jessica Atreides, Oscar Isaac as Duke Leto Atreides. Look at that fucking beard.
They always look good. They're always...
This looks good. Jason Momoa as Duncan Idaho. All right, I'm kind of liking this. I'm on board. All right.
Listen, this
color
is...
Color me on.
This is the favorite book of Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah,
so
this is what he's been waiting to do, yeah.
Yeah, that is dream project. It's like somebody comes and gives you exactly what you want.
But what did they do to the logo? They've changed it, those cowards. So Dune, famously, their logo was revealed a couple months ago, and it consists of four semicircle or U-shaped icons in various arrangements. A D, a U, an N,
and a C.
And a C. So, because it doesn't have the middle part to make it an E. So, I loved the Dunk logo. I absolutely loved it for the pure minimalist. We don't give a fuck what it looks like. It looks cool. But then they changed it, and they put a little pointy thing in the C, and I hate it.
They could have done something
it's Dune now.
They could have done something like that on the D side as well to make it be the D.
Oh, it's symmetrical, yeah.
Yeah, like they could have, but I don't know. It's let's put it this way.
Yeah, if you put one here,
You can give me 50 logos. I don't give a fuck. Make it
Dunk.
Good.
I was all
it, the
in
one
on
with
Dunk.
Boats? Is it Dune with boats? It's like Dunkirk, but Dunkirk?
Yeah.
It's Dunk.
I loved it.
Dunkirk.
Yeah. I just dug it. I just dug it for the minimalist simplicity of it. And I knew what it was, but it just made you think that extra step, and I'm mad that they did what this looks like. I hate it.
Dunk.
Okay. Beef?
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's time for Beef's Tiger King Corner. Have any of us else watched this eighth episode of Tiger King with Joe McHale doing interviews?
Right before the podcast.
Absolutely. What did you think? Because I liked it.
I thought it was exactly what we needed, which is people sitting at home filming on iPhones.
Oh, my God.
It's like the Talking Dead or Talking Bad or any of those after show things that you got every week on your AMC type shows. This is exactly what you wanted. You got to hear about the nanny, Jeff Lowe's nanny. You got to hear the libertarian say, fuck the feds one more time. I mean,
fuck the feds.
It's what we needed.
I'll say it again. Fuck the feds.
Right.
Not us.
That's a direct quote, NSA.
No, that's a quote from that. So if you're a Netflix subscriber, Community is available on Netflix now. And a lot of people are discovering Community for the first time. And I like to think that they're also now realizing that Joel McHale is Jeff Winger. He's not acting. He's literally that douchey guy.
Yep.
In real life, right?
Yeah, every role he ever had, he was an X-File, I think, and he was playing the exact same thing.
Hey, he is that smug douche.
Aaron Paul.
This guy has no range.
Yeah, Aaron Paul. Tune in tomorrow for Westworld Weekly or whatever, but talk about,
same guy.
Jesse Pinkman on drugs, tripping balls.
Right.
This was exactly, it wasn't what I wanted. I think it was what we needed. Like, I liked that it gave some clarity. I liked that literally everyone threw Joe under the bus and was like, nope, dude fucking deserves to be in prison. It's where he belongs. Dude's gonna die there. It's all good. Carol Baskin killed her husband, but, Yeah.
The check-in.
I mean, who gets the spinoff? That's the thing. Like, who do you give the spinoff to? Like, where does it, it go?
If No Legs and the dirty hair, the dirty cat loving guy, like the other long hair hippie guy, if those guys still work at the same park, I want that. I want to see.
They don't, though, but yeah.
I want to see where the Joel, the Jeff Lowe, how is his, oh, we're going to build a new one? How is that going? Is him and the monkey guy still together? Is the monkey guy
not
doing?
No, but they broke up.
Like, I want all that shit. I want to know if that park is still being built or if it's still at the shitty first GW Zoo.
I like the movie producer, the guy Billy Bob Thornton said. Oh, he said Billy Bob Thornton would play him. He's just in Norway now. Like, he lives in Norway. Like, what's that about? He's still walking around looking like Crocodile Dundee.
He's probably got some, like, 32-year-old girlfriend. I don't know why. I just picture him as,
no, there's
like
a picture in the background. You see his wife, but...
Oh, okay. Smoking grits.
Yeah. Seriously. All right, guys. So, that's news. Let's talk about trailers. The first one, we don't do these too often, but this is a reality dating series coming to Netflix.
Temptation Island mixed with Big Brother.
It's called Don't Touch. Don't Touch. Look, but don't touch. It's called Too Hot to Handle.
Well, but it's not. They don't like get kicked out. Apparently, they get docked. Okay, so it's a bunch of hot, sexy people. But the thing is you can't kiss and you can't have sex.
You can't have sex of any kind. And I think that means self.
Yeah.
No masturbation.
So, but how do you? So they get docked money.
Yeah,
so they must.
It's a Big Brother type house, so they're filmed all the time, and
they must give them each like $100,000,
right? Or they say, like, you know, at the end of this, whoever wins gets this amount minus whatever you did, or at the end of it, everybody gets $10,000 minus, you know, $100 per pee-pee touch.
I'd be able to just, you know, handle my own business like once every few days. I wouldn't have to be cranking out all the time.
I think that
you can dock me pay. That's fine.
I don't think you can handle your own business. I think
dock
that's
me pay. I saw two chicks sucking face. They got docked money. Dock me pay for hammering on myself.
If I go to the bathroom, they don't know what I'm doing. They don't know
I'm sure they
know. I think they know.
I'm sure they got cameras.
You sign a waiver.
One.
You sign an NDA.
Yeah, they put a blurry blurb over your blurb so you can't slap it.
We're going to look
just,
at you.
It's just the guy in the camera booth is getting paid and jacking off.
You know
the
what?
Only thing that's happening.
I want to see this now just for, because we like talked about the problems with it before I had
I
want to
see how
interest.
It plays out. This is one I'm actually going to watch because I was like, yeah, but show me how. Like, show
They're
me
all
how
beautiful
that works.
People.
Yeah, it's beautiful it's people. Definitely something to see. So the next one is an animated series coming to Netflix called The Midnight Gospel from creator of Adventure Time.
I didn't have enough acid to get this.
This is premiering on
420. You need something stronger than that, though.
This looks like tripping ball. If the trailer is the show,
it looks,
which it also looks like it's animated based off like improv or like freeform conversation. It feels unscripted, like the conversations feel unscripted, and then they just came up with the most bizarre animation they could to kind of like back it up. Speaking of improv, if you like that sort of thing, watch Middle Ditch and Schwartz.
You mean Whose Line Is It Anyway?
I mean, basically every comedy show in New York City.
It looked really fun, though. At the end of it, I was smiling.
What my friends did in college? Like, I mean, this is...
Oh, really?
Yeah, like this is, you know, you're just, give me a name, give me a cereal. Okay, now I'm, you know, Joe Fruit Loops. Here's my character. You know, yes and... So that's that. But again, Thomas Middleditch, Ben Schwartz, talented guys would watch, right?
Yep.
Dangerous Lies, a spin on the Knives Out kind of thing here.
Yeah, this felt a lot like Knives Out, just different enough. But, I mean, I don't know. It looks semi-interesting, especially if she really didn't kill him. It's free. This is one of the ones I say it's free that I might
Netflix.
Actually flip on, but probably not.
Afterlife Season 2 with Ricky Gervais.
Kind of hits me in the feels because I just had a loss in my family.
Yeah,
but,
did you watch Season 1?
No, but I do remember watching the trailer going, oh, that looks okay. Looks touching.
Yeah, so it's that. And Ricky Gervais is actually really good at this. I know he does a lot of the, his Golden Globes performance, you know, is one type of his humor. But he's good at the heartfelt stuff, too. Derek was really good, and... this is good. So this is a man who loses his wife, and then, you know, he kind of loses himself, and then his friends help him, and yeah, it's nice. It's on Netflix. Mrs. America, another trailer for this on FX.
This has got a lot of big name actors or actresses that we would know.
Yeah, for sure.
Looks interesting.
Cate Blanchett is the lead. Looks really cool. Kind of very historical, too, and an interesting perspective. I don't know if you guys have had to use Zoom at all or any of the video conferencing services yet to connect with your coworkers. It's torturous. SNL did a bit on it this weekend. They did their whole show remotely. But Reno 911, in promotion of their Quibi, there's that word again, Release has done a series of Zoom morning briefings, and it's exactly what it's like. That's exactly it. So
that was funny because Reno 911 is great.
It is very good. Some movie trailers for movies you can watch at home. The Half of It coming to Netflix.
Meh. Which one was this one? Is this the...
So this was Nerdy Girl is approached by boy to write love letter to Pretty Girl, who then... Yeah, it goes from there. I like this trailer a lot.
Yeah,
this
looks good.
Yeah, this looks good. Wing? Some wind? Eh?
Eh. It looks generic. It looks... Eh.
Yeah.
All right. We've seen it.
So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just... It looks... straight to DVD.
The long-awaited conclusion to the what is perhaps the greatest film saga of the 21st century, the Trip quadrilogy, will conclude in May with The Trip to Greece.
I have no idea what any of this is. Looked funny.
Okay. The Trip to Spain, The Trip to Italy... No?
No.
The Trip to Greece? You've seen none of these?
No.
Steve Coogan? Rob Brydon?
Who are these people?
I'm Michael Caine. You are only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. No?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Come, Mr. Wayne.
I look at this and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Okay. Homework. When this movie is out, we are probably going to do a month. We'll just do all four.
Oof. Yeesh. Okay.
Okay.
We'll actually do them all in 1 week because they're that fun. You can watch them like nothing. All right, movies. Movies. Okay. We wish Groundhog Day 2. I'm sorry. Groundhog Day 2020.
No, I already feel like I'm living the same fucking day enough this year. I
think that's the joke here. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I get the joke, but I don't... My media is already going to... Yeah.
There are only 3 days now. There are only 3 days. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
What?
I think I'm getting tired. Okay.
Those are days?
That's it.
That day?
Yeah. There's no Monday. There's no Tuesday. There's no Saturday. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So, what have we been checking out in our quarantine downtime?
I have just still been cruising along with Westworld Weekly. Unfortunately, after tomorrow's recording, there's only 3 episodes left.
They're doing eight episodes this year. Wow.
What the hell? War of the Worlds on Epix, I finished that. That was pretty good for the first season. That was enjoyable.
Yeah.
Atlanta's Murdered and Missing. Second episode is tragic and awful, and I mean the whole show is, but it's a good docuseries. It's from HBO. And Tales from the Loop, I am seven or eight episodes in, and there's only one left for the first season.
Good.
Amazon, it's a lot of good stuff.
Worth it,
weird,
huh?
Slow. Yeah, it's a slower burn. It's not always about the sci-fi. The sci-fi is just the backdrop or the setting. It's more about human drama, which I like about it. It's about people connections. So Bobster, what about you?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I feel like our media consumption is now slowing down a little bit. We're kind of at the beginning of this. We were burning through stuff. I watched X-Men Dark Phoenix.
And?
Wow.
Is so, it that bad, honestly?
Yes.
It's not good. Like, I would say there's a solid 4 or 5 minutes of good X-Men stuff in there. And holy shit, is it like muddled. And I mean, and this is comparing it to like X-Men The Last Stand, right? Like, they butchered Dark Phoenix before. This hits all of the same bad story notes in that, and none of the good ones. Like, I don't know. And they did this other really annoying thing, which is at the end of X-Men Apocalypse, they gave everyone pretty much their comic accurate uniform. And then in this one, they're just all wearing the same thing again, which, again, don't get me wrong, I don't think these uniforms look bad. I like that the yellow and blue, like reminiscent of the Grant Morrison run new X-Men. But, right, did I get that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, thanks. I like those uniforms, but give me the comic accurate shit for once, like if this is going to be your last hurrah. So, yeah, I don't know. Can I watch New Mutants?
Should I even try it just because I have to? No, and I've seen all the other ones?
Keep your mind clear.
Keep your mind clear.
You don't need to see this. You really
now
just
now I have to because you tell me I shouldn't. Now it's like, anyways. Okay.
Well, it's not that you shouldn't, but there's so many other good things.
I mean, I this is a dumb spoiler, but Species 8472 shows up at the beginning from like Star Trek Voyager, and they turn into humans just like they did on Star Trek Voyager. And like, I'm like, just what even is this? This is nothing from the comics. Like, there's literally nothing from the comics that's good in here.
Anything else you've been doing that you actually
liked? Yeah, so I did like, we finally got around to watching Good Omens with David Tennant and Michael Sheen on Amazon Prime. So this is based on the Neil Gaiman, Terry Pratchett novel, and really, really well done show. I think it's 6 episodes. We've watched half or so.
You're still having fun with it?
Yeah, still having fun. Very good.
Good, good.
Wing?
I'm 30 hours into Final Fantasy VII Remake, and that's the only thing that has been occupying my life, because it's the greatest video game I've ever played. Seriously. So,
is this a Final Fantasy VII Remake?
They've remade it from scratch, and this is part one, so they adapted maybe the first, I would say, 7 hours of the original game. But like I said, I'm 30 hours into it, and I'm not even half done. So, it's freaking amazing. It's when you can't meet expectation. It's impossible because people have been dreaming about this for 10 years.
They did it.
No, they surpassed it.
Oh no!
Wow.
So what can I play this on if I
like, PlayStation? That's it. That's all.
That's it.
Yeah, it's exclusive for a year. In a year, you're going to be able to play it on PC.
Oh, wait. Not even Xbox?
I mean,
nope.
Let's just say I've waited this long to play any version of Final Fantasy VII, so I guess I can wait till next year.
Yeah, probably at this point. But that's the one you want to play. It's uncanny. I was like very, very excited and everything, but I was like, I need to dampen expectation. So they change the combat. I'm probably going to hate it or something. You know, something. No. That's pretty much on point.
Just for those of us playing at home, this is the one with the guy who has the giant sword gun?
Yes. When you just the giant sword. The sword
gun. Not the sword gun is 8?
Yeah, sword gun is 8. But when people think of Final Fantasy, they...
This is the one, yeah.
Think about Cloud and his giant sword that's basically a shovel.
Yeah, so, okay, cool.
Yeah. That's the one, but...
All right. So, this has been Legends.
Next time, Legends Podcast. Inception.
No, wait. It's not. No, it's
God
not.
Damn it.
Sorry, I didn't get there.
Next time, Legends Podcast. Jay and nope. Silent Bob.
Yeah, I didn't even type that correctly, did I? Go ahead. Okay. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing.
Next time, Legends Podcast. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back Reboot, no. I believe. Fuck.
No. Just see, reboot.
Type
just
it reboot. Out. I don't know it. Oh, my God. Next time,
Legends Podcast. Next time on Legends Podcast, Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Reboot.
Yeah, we rebooted that announcement about four times, I'll tell you what.
Wow.
So funny thing, next week is 420 for 2020. And it's episode 469 of our podcast. So we went dirty for this one.
So we're watching a movie with Kevin Smith and his daughter?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Totally have wholesome.
Have a comment, question, recommendation. Have a comment, question, recommendation. Email us, legendspodcasts@gmail.com, with an extra S for spells and sorcery. This has been episode 468 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, Westworld, only 3 more episodes this year? Boo.
Oh, man.
Yeah, maybe Westworld only 3 more episodes. I'm Wing.
Oh, I'm John a Lobster. Roll for initiative.
Roll for sadness. All right, we're good. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast, plural. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on the show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada or GunnaGeek. No infringement is intended.